Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and today we're talking with April Sobral. She is the author of The Positive Effect, A Retail Leader's Guide to Changing the World. She's also the CEO of Retail U and a leadership development coach. And in her spare time, I don't know what you do, but we'll talk about it, April. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you on as a former retailer or as a recovering retailer. I don't know what to call it. We'll just say that. I think about retail all the time. Boy, has it changed, right? Boy, has the world changed in terms of the way retail's done. You know, online has changed. Amazon's the big 800,000-pound gorilla in the room. It's just a different world. Tell me what you're seeing in terms of the industry. We'll certainly get into the details about all this, what we're talking about today, but just in the industry, what do you see as the thought process going forward?
Yeah, it's interesting that you say, you know, like online has changed retail, because I have this conversation all the time that bricks and mortar is still 80% of the sales when you actually look at a retail chain. And we learned that through the last couple of years, where when the stores were closed, retailers lost their footing and ended up closing down. Because I do think that online and omni is such a big part of the journey now, but it has to be a total journey, right, throughout. It's not one or the other. So people that are doing that well and getting that right are being able to continue to grow and be successful. I mean, what I see in retail is obviously malls are changing. They don't have the traffic that they used to. We can see that just in conversion and traffic metrics in the malls, but the mall has to just change and evolve. Like, I've been in malls lately where they're adding more kind of lifestyle centers into the mall where you would never see that previous life, you know, whether you're adding a grocery store or you're redoing it to have apartments around it. Different things are popping up, which is really interesting. And there's lots of new brands that are kind of like direct to consumer brands that have been opening up stores. And I think that just goes back to what I said at the beginning. It's speaking about you have to have the whole journey. It's not one or the other. So whereas 5 years ago, it was like omni, 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 build your online. It's never going to take over bricks and mortar. And that's one thing I love about retail. You know, I've been in it for 3 decades and it's such a people business. And that's the core of what I teach and what I do, because that's still really prevalent today. And it always will be, quite honestly.
Yeah, it's still about the experience, the connection. And there's no question about that. I think about clothing, and I think about some of the things that people have to feel, they have to touch. And you put on a pair of Nikes, you put on a pair of New Balance, Reebok, they're all different fits, all in the same brand. Everything is so different. You really want to order 19 pairs, try them all on and send back 18, right? It's just, there's something about that experience of touching and feeling still that's so important to a consumer when it comes to that. You know, you've worked for, Apple, Banana Republic, Starbucks, a lot of other organizations. What have you found that's really a commonality no matter where you go?
You know, the people, right? The passion and desire to support and develop people. I think when you think about retail, you know, my friends never really knew what I was doing. They were like, oh, you're just selling clothes. You know, you just stand on a shop floor and you sell clothes all day. And, you know, what the common theme or, you know, commonality between all retailers I've worked in is really the people factor. You know, no matter what you're selling in terms of product, clothing, could be tea. I've sold tea in my time, coffee. They're all different products, but people, wherever you work, want the same things. right? Like they want to be developed, they want to grow in their career. And as a leader within the retail space, whether you're in a store leadership position, whether you're in a multi-site position, you have to build teams. And so I think about that across the industry. I mean, retail is the third highest private employment sector in the world. And if you think about, you know, building teams, learning these people skills to help young people, a lot of them coming into their first job, you're just developing people skills along the way. And that's one of those myths that I always bust for people, because my friends would say, oh, I don't know what she does all day, right? When I was working in retail, she's just standing on the shop floor selling clothes. But 9 times out of 10, I was learning how to be a coach, like how to really coach, provide feedback, how to listen, how to hold people accountable, and all of those leadership skills that's really necessary. So I think at the end of the day, the commonality is, you know, people.
Yeah, there's no question that, you know, when I think back on the retail career I had as well, it really was, you had so many people, so many different types of people. You get a crash course in you know, human behavior and all the challenges that go along with that and all the wins that go along with that. Right? And learning about people who just want to go out and take over stores that are, you know, we call them firefighters that go in and fix it. And then others that just want to kind of be like account managers. They kind of take their store and they just run it day to day and move through the process. You get all types of people that want to work in the industry. And I do think sometimes it gets a bad rap because, you know, coming out of that industry, you have learned a lot. Right, a lot about what really is going on in human behavior and how to deal with all different types of people internally and externally.
100%. It's like a crash course school in human behavior. I like the way you said that because I've never heard that described that way before. But it really is. That's where I spent my time in my career, coaching leaders, and still today.
Yeah, there's no question. And, you know, I think about there also is you've got a lot of young people that come into the industry and, you know, they are passionate. Typically, they like the product, which gets them in the door, right, to be part of that organization, whether it's Apple or they like a phone or they want clothing or, you know, whatever it is. And they already have a passion for the product and they learn how to sell it. And you're teaching these individuals how to really maximize that effort. And I think that bodes well for retailers that go out into other industries of how they get hired and how they become other great leaders in other industries. Would you agree?
Oh yeah, 100%. Like I see so many young people come in. Like you said, they love the product. They love the brand. They want that as their first time job. Then they could be maybe deciding, oh, I kind of like this and, you know, doing more hours. They sometimes get promoted because they're one of the best salespeople on the floor. And then all of a sudden they're managing people and they don't really know how to do that. But then if they stick with it, they get the training and development and, or they come in, they learn how to work within a team. They learn how to communicate and they pick up these skills. And eventually, you know, maybe they're going through school at the time. Maybe they've become like a shift supervisor. Once they finish school, then they go off and they apply to a job and they start moving up in their career choice, and they have these skills. You know, I think about somebody that I know, I've known for 20 years. I've been mentoring her for 20 years and she was a shift supervisor for me. She's now in the legal field and she always talks about that experience at Starbucks as like what really helped her, you know, work within a team, lead a team, and all the lessons that she picked up along the way. So I couldn't agree with that more. It's such a great industry to learn these cross-functional skills.
You know, and again, we're talking with April Sobral. She's the author of the book, The Positive Effect, A Retail Leader's Guide to Changing the World. She's also the CEO of Retail U. You know, April, when I think about leaders and leadership development, especially whether it's retail or anywhere, because it's really all the same for most part, what do you find are the two biggest or even one biggest thing that is lacking in regards to leadership today?
That's a great question. I think, you know, everybody's so busy and got so much going on and their priority lists are getting longer. I honestly think that leaders need to slow down, become more mindful and get present so that they can listen with intent and listen to learn, because would then stop making assumptions and judging situations and making decisions based on what they believe is true. And I think that's always been the case. If I look back to 20 years ago, a leader making assumptions and thinking they know what somebody else is thinking or feeling has always been an issue. And I think that's just because human behavior is we're more interested in ourselves than anybody else. That is a true statistic and a fact. So if you now step into a role and you're managing teams and that's a fact, then how do you get outside of yourself to really be in service to other people and start to ask really good questions? And like I said, listen to learn, because you only get answers to the questions that you ask. And asking questions is a skill. It's not something we're taught in school. If anything, we're taught to like kind of direct and tell or listen to what somebody's saying and then kind of respond versus ask a question to seek understanding. So assumptions, not asking the right questions, that's still prevalent today.
There's no question about that. Listening to respond versus listening to understand is probably one of the biggest challenges that most leaders face. They feel sometimes, I hear it from, you know, people that I work with, they feel like they have to give an answer, that they're being asked by somebody a question because they're, I call it the all-knowing and all-powerful, right? There's somebody who should have this answer. And it's so easy to just become the answer person rather than really going to get them to go find the answer or bring the suggested answer with it, right? And ask for, you know, so what would you do? Well, I don't know, Dave. That's why I'm coming to you. Well, I recognize you're coming to me, but I would love to hear how you would handle this situation. And that, you know, that really sometimes flusters people because they expect an answer. And so that listening and asking the question is absolutely a critical part of it.
Yeah. And I think just having humility, right? Like you said, you know, leaders think they have to have the answers. I learned very quickly when I became a vice president that I didn't have all the answers for my team of 3,000 people. And also, I shouldn't have all the answers because if I do that, I'm not including everybody in the problem solving, in the decisions. And I'm probably having a biased viewpoint because it's my viewpoint. And, you know, when you have a title, people tend to agree with you more. Why? Because you hold their job in your hands. And so when you do become a senior leader, if people are agreeing with you all the time and it's always your voice speaking, you might want to look in the mirror and ask yourself that question. You know, are you facilitating and creating an environment where people feel safe to come and share their perspective? I can't tell you how many times in my career where I got told, oh, you know, in that meeting, you were perceived as this, and it would quiet me down, right? And I didn't want to be that leader when I grew in role. I wanted to encourage everybody. I think that's a big area of opportunity, especially if you think about inclusive work environments. You know, your voice isn't, it might be the loudest, but it doesn't mean to say it's the right one.
No, and but that is what people seem to expect. And so you become the, I guess the word would be you become a, you know, a different than all the other people around you, managers all around you. And if you do it right, you certainly will excel in leadership. And you know, and I think as we're going to talk about it in your book, The Positive Effect, A Retail Leader's Guide to Changing the World, it is about how to, you know, drive people forward. And it's about the attitude they have and using the right style that connects with each individual person rather than, you know, the whole in terms of in the collective. So I think, you know, that's part of what we're looking to talk about today is how a leader can be different and how they can be effective and how they can be with the right attitude and positivity to make that work.
Yeah, I mean, like I say that every leader has a positive effect, a neutral effect, or a negative effect on people every day in every experience they have with people. And we know that, you know, you get 10% discretionary effort out of your team that you can't pay for when you actually make people feel good about working for you. I mean, you could just think about that yourself. Of all the bosses you've ever had, who did you put the most effort into the job for and show up every day wanting to do more or do the best that you can? It was always the leaders that made you feel good and that had a positive effect on you. That's why I wrote the book, because I do think that leaders need to understand that. I mean, early on, I was trained, you know, don't show your emotions, like you got to be business. And that was that era of leadership. But I don't know, that never really worked for me. I had a early on, I had a great regional director that said to me, you know, April, you'll never not get promoted for being too nice. You've got to be competent. And there is a difference in competence and being too nice. But, you know, people really want to work for somebody that they really enjoy working for. And usually that employee answers three things: can I trust my leader? Do they care for me? And can they help me be better at my job and further my career? You know, and if that person can answer that about you, you're having a positive effect on them.
You're spot right. And we're talking with April Sabral. She is the author of the book, The Positive Effect, A Retail Leader's Guide to Changing the World. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, Educational HR Radio. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk, WLOB 100.5 FM. And we will be right back. In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Wise investors know to hedge against stock market collapse by utilizing physical precious metals. Noble Gold is a leader in this conservative financial strategy, offering extensive education, patient counsel, and expert guidance by phone. We've helped many first-time investors move their IRAs into gold using our easy three-step process. There is no time to waste. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free gold investment guide. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
With Zillow, you're not just looking for a house. You're looking for the bathroom where you'll give your kids shampoo mohawks. The bonus room you'll turn into a gym and work out in every single day, starting tomorrow. You're looking for hardwood floors worthy of your signature dance move, the glitchy robot.
You're not just looking for a house. You're looking for a place for your life to happen. And whether buying or renting, Zillow makes it easy with simple smart search features, photos, video walkthroughs, and more. Zillow. Find your way home.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by cmacareer.com and verrill-law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo. You're listening to Educational HR Radio. Remember that the HR Power Hour can be listened to not only at hrpowerhour.com, it can also be listened at the radio station, of course, 100.5 FM, WLOB, and you could go on any podcast channel and check out the HR Power Hour, and we'll be there to provide you content information. Check us out, like us, and get educated. We appreciate it so much. April, we're talking about your book, The Positive Effect, A Retail Leader's Guide to Changing the World. You know, I was looking at the table of contents and reading some of the chapters here, and you start out right at the introduction talking a little about yourself, your personal journey that you've gone through. And I thought it'd be interesting for the audience to kind of understand why you wrote the book, a little bit what drove you to that decision and what you're trying to have people get out of it.
Yeah. I mean, I wrote the book because I wanted to put into a leadership model really the way that I led, because it had such a great effect on the teams that I, you know, built. And so after building Retail U was, you know, an online leadership competency based with all different video modules teaching you how to, you know, build those core leadership competencies like problem solving, communications, team building. But you know, when anybody would ever ask me, okay, but like, what's your leadership style and methodology? I was like, well, I do have one, but it's hard to articulate. So the only way I could do that was by putting it down on paper. And so that's what really drove me to do it. And when I started to think about writing the book, I wrote to a ton of people that had worked for me in the past and said, you know, if you could learn three things from me as a leader, what would it be? And so from that process, ACT was created, Accept, Create, Teach. And those are the three pillars that I've led with my whole life. And I really wanted to be able to share it and pass it on to others so that they could learn the methodology too and apply it, because, you know, I've developed tons of leaders in my time. And that's what they say they've always learned from me. And they've gone on to grow, be successful, be promoted, and lead larger teams. So that was really the thought process behind putting it down on paper. And I'm really happy I did, because I get so much great feedback. And, you know, my journey as a leader was not just developing the leadership skills, but it was a real self-development journey personally. As I grew through my career, I was growing in my personal life, and I've always been focused on personal development. And so that the reason why I put a lot of me in the book, probably more than what most people would, is because I can't really separate me as a leader and me as a person, because it's kind of combined. And so I wanted to share a bit about my personal background for people to understand what drove me as a leader, because what drove me as a leader, and which is really prevalent in this leadership methodology, is just feeling valued as a person. And so I share a bit about those struggles in the beginning of my life and where it came from, to set the stage so that people could connect with me. Because I think, you know, you've got to connect with somebody personally to be able to relate. And I think a lot of people, when they read that intro, they can relate to it.
You know, it's interesting in that first chapter, you talk a little bit about, I should say, you talk a lot about awareness. And in that, you talk a little bit about, when I ponder mindful leadership, I understand that it is being aware of who we and who our team members are. We are suddenly able to pay attention to others by focusing on what is important to them, having an open mind, and really listening to what's being shared and what is spoken in silence. I think part of that question or statement you have there that confuses a lot of managers and leaders is the second part, what is spoken in silence. And I'm sure you're referring to, because I read a little bit into it, is, you know, body language, the way people act or react, you know, facial expressions, all the stuff that is unspoken but actually can be seen if you're paying attention. How does one develop that skill when so many people are so different in terms of the way that they project their feelings?
By becoming more mindful. I mean, a journey of self-awareness or mindfulness, which is really being talked about a lot right now, right? In leadership, there's lots of mindful classes, mindful leadership. There's a book called The Mindful Leader. I read it, and it's a great book, but I think it's about becoming more mindful. When I was in my late 20s, I discovered meditation, and I discovered it because I was a bit stressed out as a single mom working in retail, like, you know, doing a ton of crazy hours. And I just felt like I wasn't in control of my life. I felt like I was just running through things and things were just happening to me. And so when I found meditation through a friend of a friend who said, you know, you should really try this thing. And this was like, you know, I'm going to age myself now, but like over two decades ago. And people weren't really talking about meditation back then. I mean, unless you were a California hippie, which my mom and dad were. So they had introduced me to, you know, some mindfulness practices, and Hay House was always the guru, like authoring books of like meditation and mindfulness. And so I think becoming more mindful is a practice of meditation, because what meditation does is teaches you to become more aware of your thoughts. Well, when you become more aware of your thoughts and what you're thinking about, you just become more self-aware. And so when you do that, you actually translate that into your business life. You can become more aware of what's going on around you because you're more present and you're not thinking about the 10 things that you have to do. Oh, I've got to get my kid to my soccer practice tonight. What am I making for dinner when other people are talking? right? When you're in meetings and when you are present and other people are talking, you start paying attention to that body language, to those emotions, to the energy that you can feel from somebody else in the room. And so I just think that meditation is a way to become more mindful. Mindfulness makes you present, and that's when you can start to really see what's not being said.
We're talking with April Sobral. She's the author of The Positive Effect, A Retail Leader's Guide to Changing the World. She's also a leadership development coach and CEO of Retail U. You know, April, of course, we're talking about your book, The Positive Effect. And one in chapter 8, you talk about the power of empathy. And of course, it's one of the key components of emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence, of course, is a very important tool that leaders need to be in touch with when they're dealing with being connected with their teams. How important is empathy when you balance that with accountability?
Oh, it's so important. I mean, you can have a performance management conversation go horribly wrong and hold somebody accountable to an expectation because you haven't shown empathy in the situation to that person and understanding what went wrong and just like how to approach something, right? Because I always say all the time, I'm not attached to the outcome of what somebody does in terms of their performance. My job is just to make sure that I make them feel good about it and give them a clear expectation and follow up when, you know, they haven't met that expectation. That doesn't mean to say that I don't have to be an empathetic leader. Now, there's a difference between empathy and sympathy, right? Like empathy is I can put myself in your shoes. I can understand where you're coming from. Sympathy is I'm getting in the boat with you. I'm going to roll down that river and I'm going to feel sorry for you. And when that happens, leaders have a hard time having those accountability conversations. So I think empathy is a core skill. I think it's to really demonstrate empathy. And I do talk about this in the book. You know, you have to be able to ask, again, really great supportive questions and develop those skills.
How long did it take to develop that? And can you really, is it something you're born with or have a better tendency to, in your opinion? Or is it something you can truly learn? And what does it really take from a connection standpoint of that leader to make that happen?
I think it's something that people are naturally born with, some people, but like anything, you can develop it over time if you have the willingness to. If you have a leader giving you that feedback and providing you specifics of what that looks like, sure, there is people that are just naturally more empathetic, but sometimes they can overuse that empathy as well, right? So there's a fine balance. How long does it take to develop a skill? That's a great question. I think it's developed over the time that the leader wants to put the attention to it. I mean, so many times you can give feedback to somebody and you can see them demonstrate it in the next experience. Sometimes it takes people longer and more feedback to develop it. But if you have high learning agility, you're probably going to learn it pretty fast. Most times it takes somebody to have a personal experience where they're experiencing a lack of empathy from somebody else to actually understand what they really want to feel like when they do experience empathy from somebody. So I find that those experiences are the best teachers. So if you can provide examples, real life stories, things like that, but sure, you can develop empathy. I mean, there is some people that just don't have empathy and they really shouldn't be leading people. Right? Like, it's probably not the best career choice for you. So you're going to discover that along the way. But I do believe that leadership skills can be developed. I've seen it in my own career with people that I've worked with, for sure.
You know, you're listening, of course, to the HR Power Hour, and I'm your host, David Chulo, and it's Educational HR Radio that you're getting a great taste of today with April here today. You know, in chapter 3 of your book, you talk about becoming a creator and you will need to change your language. And you have this grid of remove from your language, I can't, add into your language, I can, I don't know how, to I will learn how, I am scared, to I am excited. And you provide a list of all these changes. And of course, this is that positive energy that you're focusing on with your book. You know, it's interesting. I found that in that empathy corridor, sometimes people feel that they have to provide I would use the word almost too much humility sometimes. Not that you shouldn't be humble, you should, but there's an element of confidence that has to be built up as well. And you kind of can get into the defensive mode when sometimes you go down a negative path in apologizing too much. Where do you find the line between that positivity and that to the level of someone that may take advantage of you?
Yeah, I mean, I talk about positivity as like your mindset, the way that you impact others and their emotions and their moods, and being able to leave the room and people say, God, she was so interesting. Or, yeah, like, I really want to work with her. Like, they felt good about the impact of the conversations that we had. But, you know, when it comes to negativity or not holding people accountable, I just think that there's always a right way to do it. I truly believe that you don't have to, you know, be super hard or come across as abrupt to people to understand you. And listen, I have let go of a lot of people on my teams. Like, just because I'm nice and I'm positive doesn't mean to say that I'm not clear on expectations and will make a change when I have to. I remember having a conversation with a regional manager once that, and I remember saying to her, listen, if your team won't follow you, I can't keep you in the role. Like, you can't get buy-in. Like, it's just not possible. As much as you're great at marketing and you're great at, like, you know, sales challenges or forecasting or strategy, your team don't buy into your leadership because they don't feel those three things that I mentioned earlier from their leader. So unfortunately, I just can't keep you in the role. I need somebody that the team's going to follow. And so it's just being very clear with your communication on what the expectations are, but it's just doing it in a positive way. And if you are very clear on, if this happens, this is what potentially I'm going to hold you responsible for, and this is what could happen down the line, most people get it. It's when you don't know how to have those conversations. And I always say, don't have the gotcha conversation. You know, have it clear up front what could go wrong and what could happen if it does go wrong, so that you give somebody an opportunity to change the way they're approaching something. But in the pillar create, it's really about what you create in your mind, the words that you use, you get more of in your life. And so if you think about us all as creators, how we speak, how we think about things, that law of the universe is going to bring more of that energy towards you. And so be really responsible for what you think about and where you spend your time as a leader. And that's what I really wanted to get across in that chapter.
No, and that certainly came across. And I certainly would recommend that people look at this book, because it does do a very nice job of providing clear-cut examples throughout the book. And you do a nice job of analogies in it as well. You know, of course, we're talking with April Sobral. She's the author of The Positive Effect. She's a leadership development coach and the CEO of a Retail U. And we're going to be right back on the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. We'll be back in a few seconds. Educational HR Radio is critical to your organization's success, and our sponsors understand the value this program brings to owners, C-suite professionals, and the HR community. We are honored and thank our sponsoring law firms of Verrill, Sheehan Finney, Jackson Lewis, and McLean Middleton. Our partner sponsors of Healthcare Purchase Alliance and Strategic HR. Want to be a sponsor of the HR Power Hour? Text 603-303-6124 and say, we want to be an HR Power Hour sponsor.
Hi, I'm Susan McVetty.
And I'm Pete McVetty from McVetty's Hearth and Home.
Is there a sale going on at the store right now?
No.
No Hearthstone, Quadrifier, Mendota, Wittes, Blaze King, or Morso sale?
No.
No Yodel, Vermont Castings, or Regency? Oh, there's always a Regency sale.
No.
You're telling me that out of the gazillions of wood, gas, and pellet stoves that we carry, there's not a single sale going on?
Nope.
Wow, what about patio furniture, awnings, grills, smokers, and aluminum docks?
No, just because there isn't a big sale going on doesn't mean that we're not having great deals and still doing free estimates for anyone needing a heating appliance.
Oh, well, good. Just let me know when we're having another sale.
Okay, there's always a bargain to be had if you are looking for one. and we don't need a new heating appliance.
Well, maybe my sister needs one, or my friend, or your sister.
Stop by McVitie's Hearth and Home at 893 Route 1 in Yarmouth, or check out our website at stovesofmaine.com for the latest information, including our sales.
Really? I have to check out the website? Really? And I can't believe Regency isn't having a sale.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A teenager. Learning the lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAKorea.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo. And of course, you're listening to the HR Power Hour, educational HR radio. You know, one of the other things you got to remember is we have great sponsors. Please go to HRPowerHour.com, click on the sponsor area, click on the list, visit them, frequent them. We appreciate them. And we want to make sure that you know that they're the reason that we can bring content to you each and every week. April Sobral is our guest today. We're talking about The Positive Effect. That's a book, ladies and gentlemen. It's a really good book, even though it's about retail, and we acknowledge that. It's got some very fundamental, really good lessons about being a leader in life in it. I'll give an example, April. Chapter 11, you talk about conversation is key, and you have words matter, choose your message with care. You know, I hear all the time from leaders and CEOs that these individuals just can't communicate. They just don't communicate. They don't get along. You know, they're dealing with difficult people from difficult situations in their lives. And, you know, it's very hard to get people to communicate and collaborate and work together. Is that really true?
It depends who you're talking to. I mean, you know, like it is a job, you know, of a leader to create that. And it can be very challenging if the leader doesn't know how to do that. I mean, I had an experience with a manager that used to work for me, and she's grown tremendously in her career. I'm super proud of her. She's a regional director now, manages a huge group of people. But she had a hard time with her communication early on. I remember people didn't want to work for her. She was kind of abrupt, very direct. She was very sales focused, so overusing that drive for a result skill, and it made people not feel so great. Long story short, you know, I've mentored her for like many years on her communication skills, and it got to a point where, you know, she was losing jobs because of it, right? Like she was not doing well. She was trying to apply for jobs. She was coming across in interviews, not the best. And so I worked with her through the book, actually. I took a group of leaders through the book last year, just through a certification program, and accept the first pillar, it tells you that you need to face reality. It's one of the first steps. And so she had a really tough time with that. She was like, I don't know if I want to face reality on my own communication skills and what this is, you know, how I'm being perceived. But when we worked through it, you know, one of the steps again is approach setbacks in a positive way. So she had to really look at all the setbacks that she'd had in the last 4 years and think about what she wanted to do differently and realize that her communication and the style that she was communicating just wasn't working. So she made some adjustments, really changed through mentorship and coaching. And now she's got an amazing job, an amazing team. And she says it all had to be related to her really facing reality and looking at what she could own and what she could change. And really, it was the core of her communication style. And she was very fast to solve problems for people, very fast to like judge others, make quick assumptions. And so she's had to change that. And with that, it's changed the way she communicates. She asks more questions, she listens more. And so, yeah, it's not an easy thing if you're not a naturally great communicator. But you know what? It can be changed if you really want to. But I always say, you know, will is half the battle, right? You can build the skill, but it's really if you have the will and desire to want to.
You're absolutely right. And not only to want to, but be willing to change and adapt and modify your behavior, or modify the people around you. As you know, the only people you really control are yourself. The rest you influence. And so how do you make that happen? And how do you make that work? In the book, you talk about people learning and developing different ways. And in chapter 13, you said it's a life lesson. Learning to accept and live in an ambiguity is necessary. Ambiguity is life, as you aptly put in here. But ambiguity makes people nervous. In the absence of answers, they kind of shelter down. They don't necessarily move ahead. How do you teach people to be and adjust when there are no necessarily guidelines or ways to do it ahead of them?
Yeah, it's a hard one. I remember when I had a team of regional directors, right? And they would always come to me for the answers. And I used to say all the time to them, what would you do if I wasn't here? I would just ask that question. What would you do if I wasn't here? And I couldn't give you the information that you're asking for and you didn't have all the answers. And then I would have them really think about that and ponder it. Maybe they'd go off on, you know, come back an hour later, and then they'd present their case. And then we would talk about what I would do versus what they would do. And we'd walk through the differences and kind of see what the perspectives were. And that was a really good leadership development activity that anybody can do with somebody that's working for them. I also saw it when I worked at Apple. We used to launch products and we did not know the product was launching, and we didn't have the product knowledge the day before the product was launching because they didn't want it to get leaked. So, you know, my experience of launching an iPad back in 2010 with a whole team of people that didn't have all the information, but they got up and they got on that sales floor and they answered all the questions and they were comfortable saying to the customer, you know what, I don't have the answers today, but if you want to come with me, we can discover them together. And then they would just go on the website and they would find all the specs about the iPad that had just launched and explore it together with the customer. So I think you have to be comfortable with that. You have to be comfortable not knowing the answers. And as you grow in a leadership role, let's say you're a store manager versus a vice president. A vice president is not going to have all the answers. And if they try to, they're going to be seriously burnt out completely because you cannot know everything. You can be a subject matter expert on something, but not on everything. So you may take on, you know, other departments, other areas. I experienced that at David's Tea. I had different responsibilities that I had never led before. And I had to be comfortable asking other people to help me with that.
April, the last thing I wanted to mention, again, we're talking with April Sobral. She's the author of the book, The Positive Effect. And of course, we're talking about it because it gives great leadership ideas and thought processes. Even though it's about a retail environment, it's still appropriate for all that are out there. You talk about culture. And culture is a big word. Culture means so many things to so many different people. But the three elements you talk about driving are the three E's: engagement, emotion, and experience. Talk to us a little bit about the lessons of perception when it comes to what people feel about culture, what they know about culture, and how they should integrate that into their leadership style.
Yeah, I mean, culture is a big word. And I had a HR leader work with me once who said this very powerful statement to me. She said, You know, April, she said, if you're not focused on building a culture, you have one, it might just not be the one you want. And that really made me pause and think, because she's literally saying it's there and it's happening, but with no intention around it, it's just one that's not being built. It's just existing. So when you think about culture, culture is how you show up every day, every single person in the organization and what they do, because it's built through the actions of everybody involved. It's not something you can put on a piece of paper, put it on the wall and be like, there you go, there's our values. Like, this is how we do business here, right? Like, there's so many organizations that have values on the walls, but do they actually do anything with them? I was sitting at a conference this week and I was listening to the founder of Farhati, which is a brand, a new brand. And he said, because they asked him a question about culture, and I loved his answer. He said, you know, it's just about good vibes. We have all the values on the wall and we have this thing that we want to do. But at the end of the day, every experience in every moment with anybody, we want them to feel good vibes. And so we do everything in our power just to make sure that we're creating good vibes. And yeah, we're not going to get it right all the time, but 80% of the time we can. And it is that simple, but it takes everybody to take the actions towards it, right? So if your culture is good vibes, that would mean like, what, you're not going to go into a room and be negative, like be the naysayer in the room maybe, or you're going to do it in a way that's just going to make people respond well. But ultimately, if you don't have a culture, guess what? You do. It just might not be the one you want.
No, you're spot on. And that goes for any organization or even any leader. You have a brand, you just may not know what it is. We're talking with April Sobral, and she has this great book, The Positive Effect. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis, as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
You don't know where to go.
Take it to Moody's.
You want to get on with your life, get on with the show.
Take it to Moody's.
Good people you can trust,
and it won't be a fuss.
Take it to Moody's. Collision Centers.
M-O-O-D-Y.
Your kid was talking on the cell phone, drove right through your own home, sitting in the parking lot, maybe you get hit a lot, driving through the green light, suddenly your side swipe, put it in reverse, but it turned out that it was first.
Take it to Moody's. Take it to Moody's. Collision Centers.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and today we have been doing Educational HR Radio with April Sobral and her new book, The Positive Effect. You know, April, it says in your bio you love retail, you love developing leaders. You in 2022, this is a big deal, ladies and gentlemen, received the Rethink Retail Influencer Award. Tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that was really cool. Well, it's a list of people in our industry, from anywhere, you know, news anchors to, like, I don't know, media publicists and authors and retail experts, that are just making a positive impact on the industry and are perceived as somebody that, you know, leads the way. So that was super exciting to receive that award this year.
No, that's awesome. Congratulations. Well deserved. Tell me a little about Retail U, this online training that you have for retail leaders.
Yeah, it's an online e-learning portal. So think of us like LinkedIn Learning for retail. And the reason why I built it was because LinkedIn Learning does not have a retail segment, by the way, and most places don't, because they don't recognize retail as an educated industry, which is interesting. But yeah, it's an online e-learning platform. You know, companies use it, individuals can sign up, and it's all in module-based 4-minute videos. And as an operator, I'm sure you may remember this, operations people don't really like to read a lot. So they don't.
So it's nothing. This is why I have a radio show.
Right.
And this is why I don't do all the other stuff.
Yeah, they don't. They just don't like to read operational directives. So the style of the video was built with operations in mind. It's like a mini little podcast, a YouTube video with some activities, practical activities that can be led by the district supervisors with their store managers. And it integrates leadership development into their daily operations by just having a 4-minute video, a conversation on their sales call every week, and some follow-up. So it's really great. It's developing leadership competencies within that population. And we're super excited. We've got retailers onboarding it now, and the price point is super cheap. Well, I would say super valuable. I want to replace that, but I think because, you know, we want to make it accessible for that individual manager as well that maybe is not getting career development and they really want it.
So that's at RetailU, RetailU.ca. I want to make sure people know that it's CA at the end. You know, by the way, you made me laugh when you said that we don't like to read. And I was thinking about all the planograms that I used to help people through, and all the change, you know, all the crazy ones that you'd have to adapt for each store and location. And then I'd be stunned and shocked when I walked in when things just weren't the way they should be. And I should have known, like, if we had simply sent a picture for that store, it would have been perfection. But you had to actually read. And that, of course, made it a challenge. So that's all right. I get it. I really do. As we wrap up today and people are thinking about your book, The Positive Effect, what's the one thing that when they go out and get it, that they should expect to get out of it and would make it of value for them to purchase?
They're going to learn how to be a very aware leader, which in turn creates amazing connections with others. And that attracts talent and gives them the ability to create high performing cultures. Because at the end of the day, I just think that I want them to realize that they have to make their leadership count. Every moment, every experience, every word, every email, every interaction, it all comes back to how they influence others that are going to get the results that they want. And so in the back of the book, there's a quote and it says, "Be the type of energy that no matter where you go, you always add value to the spaces and lives around you." And I truly believe that's why we can change the world in retail as a leader. Because if we can have that positive effect on others, look at how many people we can impact. But you're also going to get real interesting, funny retail stories about my journey that you'll probably chuckle at when you're reading it. And it's just a very fun, inspiring read.
It really is. You know, April, I appreciate you being a guest today on the show. I highly recommend people go to the Amazon or one of the places to buy the book, The Positive Effect. It really is a great leadership guide in general, not just to retail, but to all. Appreciate you being on the show today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.